Blog Talk Radio.
Shouldn't we be getting to the meeting?
We have some time. It's not for another few hours.
What?
I thought we'd swing by the Art Center. There's an Afrocentric exhibit that's supposed to be...
Wait, what is this?
What is this? I don't know. I mean, taking at face value, that's a pretty existential question, Michelle.
What happens to the meeting?
It doesn't start till 4. I thought we'd see some paintings, maybe grab a bite to eat. We don't have to.
Brock, you seem like a really sweet guy. But how many times do I have to tell you we're not going out together?
Well, Michelle, thank you for saying that. You seem like a real sweet girl. But I have to correct you. We are, in fact, out, and we are, in fact, together.
But not on a date. This is not a date.
It doesn't have to be.
Brock, I don't want it to be.
You know, usually women I meet are willing to look past my hideous appearance and get to know the real me.
If I thought you were hideous, I wouldn't have set you up with Gina. Gina's very attractive.
Now that's true. Gina is very attractive.
This is not a date.
That Brock and Michelle. I wonder whatever happened to them. Did they ever get together? Welcome everybody to a special episode of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson, and that clip you heard was from the new film South Side with You, which tells a slightly fictionalized version of the first date between Barack Obama and Michelle Robinson at the time. Of course, she would go on to become Michelle Obama, first lady, and him, of course, the president of the United States, the first black president of the United States. This is a movie that I was really, really kind of split on when I first heard about it. I was like, oh, this could be a disaster, trying to tell the story of Barack Obama and Michelle's first date. I don't know how this is going to go. But I actually saw it at Sundance way back at the beginning of the year, and I really, really loved this movie. Not just because it was about Barack and Michelle, but it was just a really sweet and smart and endearing love story about two black professionals, in a world that's already tough for them. And you heard in that clip, Michelle played by Tika Sumpter, Barack Obama's played by Parker Sawyers. And you heard her talking about how she doesn't want to date him. And the reason why that you didn't hear in the clip is, women in her field, the legal profession, are already have it tough. To be a black woman is even tougher. So she didn't want to be seen as somebody who would go out and date the first, black lawyer who comes walking into the office, because how would that make her look? And it's a valid point she's trying to make, and it's one she makes frequently throughout the movie. But they go and the movie is as much a tour through Chicago as it is about them. You get a lot of the taste of the Chicago culture. And it was good to see Chicago represented in a good way for once, rather than just a haven for crime and violence, which is what it's been in most recent movies. But so I was really anxious to talk to them. And along with my buddy Tim Gordon, who was on the show last week, I had a chance to talk to Parker, Tika, and the director, Richard Tanney, about making Southside with You, and some of the pressures of it, and what it was like, playing these two roles. This is an important movie for a number of reasons, especially now as we wind down towards the end of Barack's administration. So here is that interview. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, guys.
No, you're welcome. We really enjoyed the movie. It was one of the ones that I was most anticipating. I cover movies every day, so when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, this could be interesting.
And it could also be really
it could also be really awful. Yeah. So I was like, so when it was at Sundance, I was like, great, I got to see it. And it really surprised me. It really surprised me how good it was. And, we just did a review of it on our show on WETA. Mm-hmm. And I was telling them one of the things I really liked about it was that, if you didn't know it was about Barack and Michelle, you would still get this really smart, really passionate movie about African-American professionals falling in love, but you don't really get to see very often. Mm-hmm. Take away the Barack and Michelle thing,
yes.
And that part of it is still there. So I guess where I want to start is, what was it that drove you to want to make
this movie, was it the Barack and Michelle part, or was it the, you know, the kind of the black professionals falling in love part? Like, what was it?
Yeah, well, it definitely at the outset was Barack and Michelle. It was, you know, when the president and the first lady first came to national attention, 2007, 2008. I mean, Barack Obama after 2004 was his big sort of coming out, you know, to the American people at the Democratic National Convention. But it wasn't until he was actually running for president that we got to see their relationship on the big stage. And I was really struck by how they looked at each other, how they flirted with each other. It was public, but it felt really special and really authentic. And I think that that's rare in people, and I think it's even rarer in public figures. So I was really taken by them as a couple. They seem to elevate each other and make one another better.
It's really rare in politics. You know, you might get that awkward Al Gore, Tipper Gore kiss.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, and it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm not taking anything away from, you know, past presidential couples.
Yeah, of course.
But I agree with you that even if it's real, there's something a little stilted or awkward about public displays of affection between politicians. But I was just taken with them, like, as a human being, as a couple. Forget the public aspect of it. So I was always curious where that came from. And then when I read about The First Date, it really just had the makings of a movie, because he had one day to win her over. She wasn't interested. And by her own admission, at the end of that day, he had done just that. And that was a romantic conflict that I could relate to, that I felt a lot of people could relate to. And then I think with regards to making a movie about black professionals and just two people of color falling in love, that was something that I certainly had thought about and considered. And as a white guy, you know, how am I going to tell this story? But it was really when Tika got read the synopsis that I had written before I wrote the script and got really excited about helping to, you know, to make this. When I saw her get excited about it, I was sort of able to step outside of myself for a second and go, we have the potential to make some, you know, to be a part of that small group of movies where two people of color are falling in love on screen, and it's not some wacky, you know, comedy. It's about real people. And sure. So that became a major part and a major mission in making the film.
Now, to piggyback off of what Travis just talked about, one of the things, when I watched the film, it's 88 minutes long, I smiled for 88 minutes. And it was such a beautiful story of watching them literally falling in love the moment that you kind of interject in the screenplay. But I wanted to ask both Tika and Parker, the chemistry, and because the film is essentially, like, you know, for lack of a better term, is it Before Sunset? Before Sunrise?
It felt
the structure of it felt like that it's very conversational, and it on the back of both of you guys that you got to make this work and kind of like be there with each other. So talk about the process that you guys underwent prior to filming. Not just reading it on screenplay, but just trying to get to that level of chemistry.
Listen, I think chemistry, you have it or you don't. It's hard to cultivate. So when we met, you know, he came in from London, and it was instant. I don't know. It was just like banter, instant, just something there. You know, it was just, and we went through the script together, and he was watching us, and he said, "Yeah," like we were going through, you know, a scene, and we were just doing it, you know, going rehearsing, and Richard's like, "Yeah, I feel that." Like, he felt it, and we were like, it wasn't anything that we were trying to do, but it was just, one, the words are there, the script is there, obviously, but also we rehearsed a lot. You know, that was Rich's priority. He's like, you know, when you do a low-budget film, you only have a certain amount of time, which was 17 days, so we rehearsed it like a play, and we had to know it front, back. So even if he was in London, we started on Skype, and then he came, and, you know, we rehearsed, and we rehearsed more. I mean, we knew the script so well that he can get those long shots, and where we were able to do three takes and be okay, you know, be great with it and whatever. And we just connected. We went to lunch, and, like, we bickered and had fun and like made fun of each other,
yeah.
And you know, and he freaked me out because he reminded me of Obama so much, and I was like, stop doing that. And he's like, what am I doing? I'm like, you're like, you know, so, and I'm like, oh, this is freaky, you know. So like, I don't know, it was just an
yeah.
easy trio. It was just it was an easy thing to do because one, Parker's a great actor, and two, I mean, we just had, like, we were grateful that we
yeah.
got him. You know, we found him, and it worked out. Like I said.
I think it started from the chemistry test. So I went to L.A. for the chemistry test, and Rich had told me the night before. He's like, okay, so we'll do it. We'll do the first scene, and we might get some notes. And he's like, don't worry. I was like, all right. After the first scene, the room was quiet. And they're like, yeah, that's great. Next scene. Did the next scene, room was quiet. And they're like, all right, see you in Chicago. I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah, we did do the chemistry, that's right.
So we had that, and then...
I was like, hire him,
And then the casting director, Twinkie, she emailed me, she said, do you have a copy of it? She's like, it's great, just a great piece. It just seemed like a little... Those two scenes alone seemed like a short film on its own. It was just... There was something
They stood
there.
On its own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stood on its own.
And then, as far as the script and as far as the film is concerned, I think both of us, it was a challenge... as an actor,
mm-hmm.
to find little nuances in mm-hmm. a 3-minute or 3-page to 8-page exchange and dialogue where you're just walking through a park. And so to make it interesting, to make it seem real, because that happens in real life, of course you're taken by this woman or man who you're on a date with. And so, yeah, to find those nuances, that was a great exercise. It was,
yeah.
I learned a lot.
You know, playing a president is one of those things that, you know, you never forget it when somebody plays a president in any movie or first lady. Those roles are always iconic, whether they did a good job or a bad job.
Bullworth.
By the way, he didn't play a president.
He was
a senator.
He could have been president. He played a wannabe. But you know, those roles are forgotten. So it's an incredible responsibility playing that kind of character. So I guess, how did you kind of get into the mindset of playing Barack and Michelle? Because I can't imagine. Because, I mean, playing anybody, a real-life person is always tough, but playing somebody like them, I can't imagine getting into that kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, Michelle, how'd you do it?
Oh, man. I was freaked out, to be honest, at first, because that's overwhelming to say, okay, what do I have in common with Michelle Obama? She went to Yale, she went to Harvard, I didn't finish college. Like, but then, once I started reading about her and her family, I'm like, oh, that's my family, you know? Her dad's a hard-working dude, you know, who worked for the city for a very long time. Her mom, you know, who I think should write a parenting book, because they instilled such self-confidence in their kids. And it wasn't a household of, you know, seen and not be heard. It was like, we want to hear your voice so that when you go out there, you have something to say,
mm-hmm.
something to stand for. And that's why I think Michelle is able to stand and voice her opinions and be who she is and not apologize for it. So, and also she's been told no her entire life. No, you can't get into, you can't go to Yale. You can't. And I've been told no so much. I've had to fight for everything I've gotten. So there was so much, there were so many similarities for me. And then also reading her brother's book, Game of Character, which helped me the most because it informed me about who she is and who she was when she was that age, you know, and how she was with Barack. Like, one story is he came by one day, they were all sitting on the step, and she was like, all right, let's go. And all they did, the mom, the dad, and the brother, they just sat there and they said, oh, poor guy, he's not going to make it. You know what I mean? And that was a constant theme, like, this guy ain't going to make it either. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I get it, you know, and she's very much accessible. So I took off the whole Michelle Obama, put, you know, Michelle Robinson, the girl from South Side of Chicago, and who's that girl? That girl, we see her in everybody. There's something that every girl, I feel like, can get out of her.
Mm. Right. With, for Barack Obama, I mean, I moved to London in 2008, and so I missed his entire presidency. So I haven't seen him, on TV every day. But you know what I mean? I mean, like, the pressure wasn't necessarily there, because I didn't see him on TV every day. It wasn't ingrained in me. I don't remember even the Bin Laden assassination. Yeah. Accomplishment. Right. That didn't cut into my live TV. I saw that as a recording on Facebook the next day. So everything was sort of removed for me. So that helped.
No more Osama bin Laden mentioned
the interview side. But you know what I mean? So then, watching him from afar, I think helped me the pressure wasn't necessarily there. On top of, nobody really knew who I was, so, you know, if the expectations were low, I'm like, all right, I'll just exceed those anyway. And then also, yeah, I mean, similar to Tika, as I read more about him and learned more about him, I was like, oh, I've done that, and I did this, and I did that. Oh, I'm kind of like him, which I think a lot of people are kind of like him too, because, you know, especially in the film, you can see that. Even Michelle taking French and piano lessons, and then he had lived all over the world or in a few places. And I think that's what makes them so relatable, is that people can say, I had that similar childhood. I had a similar experience. And then that's what makes him such an inspiration, because it's like, I could be president too, which is the whole point, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make everybody feel like they can contribute to society.
Right.
And their life stories, if you pay attention and read about them or watch the movie, I think it will instill that confidence, like, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. Maybe not president of the United States, but.
why you gotta put a limit on it?
Right. Right.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I watched this film twice, 8 months apart. So we saw it in January, I saw it again recently. And the audience reaction is similar both times, that people sit there, and of all the people, you created like the Black Love 2016 movie, because even that it's about Michelle and Barack,
yeah.
It is almost like the ultimate date movie. The
yeah.
music, the vibe, everything about this film works.
Yeah.
How did you find yourself being that guy?
I got in touch with my inner blackness. I mean, it's true. I mean, we you know, I put it like this. It's you know, it was a great privilege for me actually to tell this story, because I not just the president and the first lady story, but a black love story, because I got to open the doors of empathy and step outside of myself and grow and learn. And I would encourage any writer of any, you know, ethnicity or race or gender to try and step outside of themselves, and not just, you know, color a character a different color,
right.
But actually do the homework and do the research and listen to your friends and the people around you and try to, you know, Barack says it in the community speech. At Altgeld Gardens, step into someone else's shoes. So that was the theme of the movie, and it was sort of my journey in writing it and then directing it. And like I said, it was such a privilege.
And I have to say, like, watching Rich work and like how prepared he was, people are like, oh, how was it shooting? Like, I go into executive's office and the offices, and I'm like, they're like, how was the first time direct? I'm like, he was probably the most organized director I've ever seen in my life. And he always did something for a reason. It wasn't like, oh, let's just throw in good times. You know what I mean? It was always for a reason. And that love, that authenticity, I appreciated. And that's why I was able to be like, no, we have to have him direct this. He knows this film, every thread of it, you know? And so I was just proud to be a part of that, because he was thoughtful, and it wasn't just throwing stuff up there to say, oh, here's a black love story. You know, it's like you said, you take Barack and Michelle, you can put in two people who are just falling in love, which I love. I love that, because people can see themselves in it. So.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't so much an agenda behind behind the black cultural references,
right.
Or the vibe necessarily, but the thing is that if you're making a love story about Barack and Michelle Obama and you're basing it on the established biographical facts that are out there, it is unavoidable who they were and what preoccupied them and what their lives were like and what they might have been talking about or been interested in and how they came together and what separated them. So that was great fun, being able to embrace those cultural nuances and not whitewash anything.
Hmm.
Do you think the people who are let's just say, not big fans of the Obamas are going to be able to, you know,
set their dislike aside? And like, I would like to think so.
Well,
but what do you guys think personally?
Well, I think there are two different types of non-Obama fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are good individuals, good-hearted people who just disagree with his policies and his administration. And then there are the racists, right? And I think the racists, no. There's no hope that they go and see this movie and that they change their minds about
right.
anything. But I can say that I have conservative Republican friends that did not want to see this movie, were not impressed by the fact that I was making it, thought it was going to be politically minded. They went to go see it, and it was sort of a thing of, it really is just a love story.
Yeah.
You know, and they were able to appreciate it on that humanistic level.
Mm.
So I think maybe getting those folks into the theater is going to be a bit of a difficulty. But if they manage to get dragged to it by a wife or a friend or curious,
yeah.
or if they catch it when it's on TV or something, I think maybe with some of those folks, we might have a chance to sort of show the human side of the president and the first lady.
When will Obama see this movie?
Oh my gosh.
I know.
You're in town.
I know we are.
You got the print. Renee is behind you.
Renee.
What happened? Last night, Rich and I went to dinner, and we were like wandering around the waterfront, and we ended up at Nick's Grill. Sit down, and I think we were almost finished with our meal. And there was a commotion just at the restaurant right next door. And I asked the server, what's going on, man? He goes, oh, Barack Obama's eating dinner for his birthday. And I go,
what? Great.
But then we try to walk over. There's 30 cars.
You didn't tell them who you were?
No.
Now here's a question. If the White House called and said, we want a screening of Southside with you, would you want to be in the room with them while they were watching, or would that just be too?
Not you.
No, I wouldn't want to be in the room.
I'd sit in between them.
Michelle would look over and be like,
yeah, Michelle would be like, girl, you got that attitude right. No. I mean, we hope it's a love letter. You know, it's like their love letter, and it's a warm embrace to say kind of goodbye. Also, you know,
yeah.
So hopefully they
yeah.
take it as that, and it was done out of love and respect and all that stuff and thoughtfulness, and so hopefully they would like it if they would like to see it. Yeah, they can totally invite us to the
festival.
All right,
thank you so much. All right, thank you very much for listening. I think you can tell that we had a lot of fun with that interview. Tika and Parker were great, and so was Richard Tanney, who is really, really, really insightful. You know, for someone making his first major film, especially one tackling one as bound to be controversial as this one. Even though it shouldn't be controversial, it will be anyway, just because of the nature of it. But he really has a lot to say, as you heard, about the film, the president, politics, the politics not only of politics but the politics of cinema. So yeah, he's definitely a director I'm going to be keeping an eye on for a long time, and Parker Sawyers as well. This was my first exposure to him as an actor, and I think he's tremendous. And Tika Sumter was good as always, and she's always welcome, a welcome presence in any film. But anyway, thank you very much for listening to my interview with the cast and director of Southside with you. Stay tuned. Keep an eye out for the next full episode of Cinema Royale, which should be coming soon. I'm Travis Hobson. Thank you very much. Goodbye.